So I thought for the wisdom portion of the series, I would talk about what I consider to be two of the most important trainings of the Buddha, teachings of the Buddha. And the first is the Four Noble Truths. And the second one is the Three Characteristics. He was really fond of these numbers, numbered lists. Because it was an oral tradition, and it helped people to remember what was being said, if they could remember numbers. So the Four Noble Truths, first I want to talk a little bit about what the Buddha called the gradual training. Here he walks us through the natural process of awakening. Natural, the natural process of awakening. I love that. This is good news. This happens naturally if we step on the path and keep going. Those are the two things we need to do. Start and keep going. So I'll read a little bit from the sutta, which is called the Majjhima Nikaya, the middle length discourses. Monks, the Buddha said, I do not say that the attainment of knowledge is all at once. Rather, the attainment of knowledge is after gradual training, gradual action, gradual practice. And how is there attainment of knowledge after gradual training, gradual action, gradual practice? There is the case where, when conviction has arisen, one visits a teacher. It's kind of like tonight for all of us. Conviction has arisen. Having visited, one grows close. I see everybody kind of listening closely. One grows close. Having grown close, one lends ear. Having lent ear, one hears the Dhamma. This is the Dhamma right now. We're hearing it 2,500-2,600 years later. Having heard the Dhamma, one remembers it. He didn't say this, but one also forgets it, and that's why we have to keep coming back. Remembering, one penetrates the meaning of the teachings. Penetrating the meaning, one comes to an agreement through pondering the teachings. I think this is key when we start to see our own experience reflected in the teachings. There being an agreement through pondering the teachings, desire arises. This is that kind of desire that's good in Buddhist teachings. When desire has arisen, one is willing. When one is willing, one contemplates. Having contemplated, one makes an exertion. Having made an exertion, one realizes with the body the ultimate truth, and having penetrated it with discernment, sees it. So that's this path is so interesting. We see the truth. That's what this meditation is about. That's what these other parts of the path that I'll touch on tonight are about. Seeing the truth is what frees us. You might remember that the Buddha said it was delusion that was causing the suffering. It was not seeing clearly. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the with regard to the Four Noble Truths and the Three Characteristics. So this is how wisdom arises, through this process, like he said. And tonight, we're hoping to offer the Buddha's wisdom teachings so that, as the Buddha put it, you will remember them, penetrate their meaning, exert yourselves, realize the teachings for yourself, and see clearly through to the end of suffering. The Four Noble Truths are said to encompass all of the Buddha's teachings. Just as the footprints of a smaller animal can all fit inside the footprint of the elephant, the breadth of all of the Buddha's teachings can be represented under the umbrella of the Four Noble Truths. You may have heard that he said, I teach one thing and one thing only, suffering and the end of suffering. And then people will say, well, that's two things, but not to him. It was the same thing, because when we see suffering and then seeing the end of suffering, this is the one thing that he's teaching, is the way to the end of suffering. So the way that these Four Noble Truths are like the elephant's footprint, they contain all of the different teachings. They all can be subsumed under that umbrella. So the Four Noble Truths, the way that I was taught them that really helped me was to think of suffering, that's number one, and its cause, that's number two. the solution or the end of suffering, that's number three, and its cause. So the problem and the cause, the solution and the cause was kind of how that helped me to remember that. So the first noble truth is that of suffering, or dukkha in Pali. And as we sat tonight together, I thought, what's a good example of dukkha from my daily life? And I thought, it's this pop that kept coming from the speaker. That is so much what the Buddha would have said, because dukkha, I've heard, is translated as the axle of a cart. They used to ride around in wheeled carts, and if it didn't quite fit, that was dukkha. That was like this bumpy, and that was what that popping was like. In fact, Cheryl said it was every 40 seconds. It popped twice. I was able to adapt that through my wisdom to use it in the talk tonight. Right, so it was not planned. In fact, I tried to get around it. You might have noticed I got up and turned down the volume, and that didn't do it. And I went, this is so what it's like. There's this suffering, and it's irritating me. And then I was making meaning about it, like, oh, this means that we don't know what we're doing. It means that people are going to get annoyed and leave. What if they're sensitive to noise, you know? And I realized, oh, this is the suffering that I'm doing. I'm adding this simple sensation of hearing, I'm adding all this story, all this suffering, and yes, I can do something about it, right? Like, this is often a question we have too. Well, can't I do something? Do I just sit in pain, or do I move my leg? Sure, when you feel like it's time, move your leg. And then if it still hurt, that's what dukkha is. Something's always going to, unpleasantness is always going to keep happening. So is pleasantness. But life is going to keep bringing us challenges. And so what do we do about it? And that's, so I'm moving on, it sounds like, to the second noble truth now, this of what he called tanha, which in Pali is translated as thirst. So it's this unquenchable desire for things to be different. So sometimes you hear it as clinging or craving, and I'm being general about it because this is a general sort of talk, where clinging can be considered like I reach out to grab something and bring it to me, or I reach out to grab it and push it away. So like with that sound, my mind was going out. The sound is actually neutral in itself. It is just sound, but the mind is going out and saying, I don't like that. And what does it say about me? I'm supposed to be in charge of this thing, and it's making noises. That whole building up of the self and what the meaning is out of that. And that's where I'm feeling the suffering. Until I realized, ooh, this is great for my dukkha part of my talk. Then there was pleasure. That's a different story. So we've got the first truth is dukkha. And this is, I'm having to whip through this stuff, a 15-minute talk on the four noble truths, but I'll do my best. So that's the dukkha. The second one, tanha, this is the craving. This is the cause of suffering. And the Buddha said in the third noble truth, there's a solution. There is an end to suffering. He called it nibbana, which also can be translated as cooling. So it's like chilling out. It's like what happened when I turned down the volume, the popping kept happening, and I went, okay, nothing I can do about it. And then I can actually get interested in the popping, how, like Cheryl, timing it, how often is it happening? It doesn't sound like there was much aversion there. Better than giggling about it, she said. Giggling is also an option. So the third noble truth is that there is an end to suffering. He found it, and many others who've walked this path since and today are enlightened, are free from this delusion that things should be different. That's really how I sum up this whole practice, is it should be different. Either I should have more of what I want, or I should have less of what I don't want. It should be cooler in here. I should have worn a t-shirt. All that, you know, should have. Should this and should that. That's what the mind is adding to the pain, which is always going to be happening in life, coming and going. The pleasure, which is always coming and going. The pleasure actually is a little harder to see that is suffering. But what happens for me, when I have pleasure, I want more of it. And it doesn't last. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. That's one of the characteristics. These three characteristics is that things do not last. Nothing brings lasting pleasure. And so the fourth noble truth, this path to the end of suffering, is the Noble Eightfold Path. And Jerry's going to talk about the first two aspects of that path, of the first two steps of the path tonight, because the path itself, that fourth noble truth, can be separated into three different, what they sometimes call baskets. So the wisdom portion, which is what Jerry's going to talk about, those two steps. And then the middle three steps, it's not really linear, but this is a way to think of it. The middle three steps are that right action, right speech, right livelihood. And I feel like that's where metta comes in, because when we have the wisdom factors in place, when we've seen clearly that this world involves suffering, then the heart warms up to that. It opens up. And when I hear the popping in the speaker that's driving me crazy, I go, oh, look at the poor creature that's suffering from the popping. There's compassion comes in. And then that's the end of suffering for me, is when I'm responding in a compassionate way to my own pain or to someone else's pain, or when I'm responding with sympathetic joy to someone else's success rather than envy. So it's, I'm seeing here where the bridge is between the wisdom and the compassion arm, or the Brahma Viharas, these four of compassion and metta, friendliness, sympathetic joy, equanimity, these four that we're going to talk about in the later weeks. So I think I've covered it there with the fourth noble truth, the path, those three parts of the path. I didn't mention the third part, which is meditation, the steps of right concentration and right mindfulness. So we're doing these practices of the mindfulness, the concentration, and we're also practicing these ethical movements of right speech, right livelihood, right action, with the foundation of the wisdom, which Jerry's going to touch on if I leave him any time in the evening. So let's see if I've got off of my notes, of course. Yes, okay. I said I was going to talk a little bit about the three characteristics as well, because they explain to me a little bit better why we suffer, why there is suffering. And really what the three characteristics means, all conditioned things, anything that was born, anything that we can see, touch, hear, smell, think, conditions, which is anything that is not this coolness of Nibbana, that, which don't ask me about Nibbana because I haven't gotten there, but there's moments. But anything that is conditioned, that has ever arisen, is gonna die, is gonna fall away. People talked about the death and dying group in the introductions, and it's an excellent Buddhist practice to start seeing where things are ending, because part of the delusion that we have as human beings often is that we think things continue. We might think this building will be here forever, when in 100 years it pretty much probably will not be here, or certainly not in 1,000 years. So we have this delusion that things are permanent. And that's the first characteristic. This characteristic of all conditioned things is that they are impermanent, which is the word anicca. They do not last. And imagine wanting something to last that doesn't last. And the anguish and pain, not just pain, but the mental anguish that comes from this clinging, this thirst for something to continue that won't continue. Relationships, the lives of pets, the lives of loved ones, jobs, health. They all change and end eventually. So what do we do with that? That's really the question, I think, that Buddhism tries to answer, is to see that this is the way it is for everyone. This is the way it is for human beings, this first characteristic of impermanence, anicca. The second characteristic is related. They're all interrelated to each other, these three. The second one is dukkha. Again, we have suffering. It's also known as stress, difficulty, not aligning, our attitude not being aligned with reality. And then the third characteristic is not self, or anatta, which is to say, how can I explain this briefly, that everything is impermanent. So if you think about it like a tree in the forest, it's a tree for now, later it falls over and it becomes a nurse log, and then it eventually becomes dirt. So it's not really a tree when it's a tree, because it's dirt to be, something like that. It's everything is interconnected and changing. There's nothing permanent to hold on to, including in this self that I call Anna. I'm 50 years old now. Last year I was 49. Was I more me now? I'm not any more me now than I was then. It's kind of a higher level understanding, but I see it really easily related to impermanence. It's like if I took myself to be, in college I said I'm a college student, but I'm no longer a college student, I'm a graduate student. So which was true? Was one false? It's just that things are changing. There's no constancy to who I am. The only constancy is consciousness. That's a whole nother probably series. But these are the ways that the conditions of life, when we misread them and we think they should be permanent, that things should be controllable. That's really the main problem with thinking that there is a permanent self in things, is that it should be controllable. I should be able to control myself and you and the tree, for example. Impermanence and not self, they work together to cause the suffering if I don't see clearly how things are. So that's what happens in meditation, is we come to see that the way things really are. We have to, like the Buddha said in the beginning of the talk, we have to hear the teachings so that we can use that lens to look through our experience in meditation or in daily life, and then come to see, you know, it's true. Things really are always changing. I can't control them. And when I try to control them or try to hold on to them from not and keep them from changing, that's when I suffer. And so the understanding, as this grows over the years, over practice, in little ways and in big ways, we come to see this is the way things are and be freed from that delusion of that causes that suffering. So Jerry's going to talk about, that sums it up. Jerry's going to talk about a couple of aspects of the path, as well as other aspects that bridge this wisdom piece over to the compassion and metta piece from there. Thank you.